Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier, and it's my pleasure to be with you for the next 2 hours. During this hour, we're going to be talking to U3A, as we do once a quarter, to find out what they're up to and what's happened in this quarter and what's coming up for the next one. And then between 1 and 2, I'll have our private investigator, Pete, from Absolute Facts, coming on to talk to us about what he's been up to. He couldn't make it last month, so it'll be really great to hear from him. That song I played was Troy Cassidaly and Adam Harvey, and it was the old Lights on the Hill from Slim Dusty. And it actually hadn't changed much. I was a bit surprised. I thought it might have been an updated version. Anyway, enough of the ramblings, Alan. We're here to talk to U3A. We've got John and Julian. So welcome, guys.
Thank you very much,
Alan. Yeah, thanks, Alan. Great to be here.
Great to have the two of you too. Now, first of all, I've got to ask you, how's U3A going? Because every time you come in, you keep telling me you've got new, more and more members.
It's going really well at the moment. I mean, it's going really well. Enrolments are continuing to grow. We're up to about 370, 375 now.
That's good. Yep.
And the number of courses we run, we're growing. We've added another 3 or 4 courses this term, yep. Which we can talk about later if you like, or we can talk about now. But there was a time, I'm told, when, you know, we had to sort of work really hard to get people to sort of nominate new courses or come forward with interest or whatever they might want to teach. But now Chia and Phil, who are our course coordinators, keep telling me that they're struggling to keep them down. People keep ringing them up and saying, we've got a new course to do. So things are going well.
That's a terrific sign, isn't it? Because, and we often talk about this on air, that there is so much wealth of talent, particularly when men and women retire, that, and they have some skills and they get wasted if they can't use them at places like U3A and that.
Yeah, and it's amazing the variety of the kinds of skills that people have. I mean, you know, you think of skills in terms of just conventional sort of, might be have a strength in a language or, you know, playing an instrument or whatever it might be.
Don't you dare.
But, well, look, I've got my ukulele at the back if you really want me to try that one.
Yeah, I knew you'd get it in.
But, we've got, becoming increasingly surprised at the range of interests that people have, introducing things I'd never heard of. For example, dancing with Wu Tao. Now, if you asked me who Wu Tao was, I wouldn't have known anything about it.
Well, I'm still going to ask you what it is.
What it is. Kathy Nolan is running the course, and it's a kind of, Tai Chi or those sorts of slow-moving sort of Eastern sort of type
exercises. And you can have a dance to it.
They do a whole range of different things. So there are 5 dances involved in it. It's called, and they relate to air, water, wood, fire and the earth. Right. And the idea is that you sort of move in some sort of coordinated, slow, controlled fashion.
So obviously you don't need a partner or anything like that.
No. You just spread. Ideally, it's done outside, I'm told. I was talking to the leader of the course the other day because at the moment they're doing it inside the senior sits.
Right.
But they ideally like, you know, the weather hasn't been really conducive lately.
Yep.
But ideally they do it outside because, you know, she says the outside, the grass underfoot, all those sorts of things are part of creating the energy.
I was just going to ask you that, why outside, but it's part of the whole tradition almost.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of connecting with the environment, with the world around you, feeling, being outside and fresh air, hopefully a bit of sun on the cheeks.
And it's good for you at the same time.
Yeah. And the idea is essentially making people feel relaxed, energised and at peace with the world around them.
Yeah. And like any of that, apart from the fact that how it makes you feel, the offshoot of that, which you don't always think about, is the exercise you're getting.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the same thing with, you know, ballroom dancing and things like that. People say, oh, yeah, I had a terrific time, the music was great and all that, but they forget along the line it was a bit more than that. They wound up with actually energising the body and exercising the body.
Yeah. And most many people sort of associate exercise with walking and going to the gym and playing
running.
Sports and running and all those kinds of things. But this is a much more carefully controlled, slow kind of movement, and it's just controlling the body.
And it's probably better as we all age. You don't want to put that much stress on your body either, do you? So if
well, I certainly don't.
Oh, the strength, now I've got to take a break.
The man I loved run the salesman route, selling goods from house to house. Stepping out with no traveling man. My mama bought things that he wasn't selling, but mama didn't know, and I sure wasn't telling. That behind her back, I was making my plans to meet somewhere with that traveling man. Stepping out with that traveling man. Mama didn't allow me to go in court, and I'd tell her lies that I reckon I oughtn't. Oh, but she'd have given me the back of her hand if she'd have seen me with that traveling man. So I'd tell my mama that I reckon I oughtn't. To the spring and fetch her some water. But what Mama didn't know is that I had a plan to meet down there with that traveling man. Now I made plans to run away with that traveling man on Saturday. Well, Saturday's here and here I stand, and there goes my mama with that traveling man. Off with my traveling man. Mm-hmm. Mama, you know you oughtn't have done that. You just like my daddy. He run off before I ever knowed him. You done run off with my traveling man, and I really don't think I ever knowed you either. Oh, there goes my mama with my traveling man. I'm really gonna miss that traveling man.
And that was Dolly Parton, Traveling Man. We're talking to John and Julian from the U3A. So far, we haven't spoken to Julian, but we will get there very soon. John, you said that there's a couple of other courses that you've started this quarter.
I mean, one, Draw Your Life is one which started up at the beginning of Term 4.
Draw Your Life?
Draw Your Life, yes. It's designed for people who can't draw at all. Like
well, it doesn't sound good, draw your life, but if you can't draw.
But it's a very simple way of using cartoon shorthand techniques. The fellow who runs it has a cartoon background, but he uses cartooning techniques and stickers and so on to help people sort of do figures and learn to draw and create sort of things which relate to their life story.
Yep.
And that runs in the courthouse on Tuesdays between 1 and 2:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So that's one. And again, you know, it's a sort of skill that I think a lot of people wish they might have had.
I sounds wish. Terrific.
Yeah. Which I'd sort of learned a little bit about drawing as a younger lad, but anyway. And another one is an introduction to allied health therapies and modalities, which I don't know a great deal about.
I was going to say, tell me more.
But, it's an instructive course. It's not a practical course.
Right.
But the idea is to teach people about the origins, practices and benefits of a range of different health modalities like shiatsu, reiki,
Well, they're taking more and more notice of that now, aren't they? Like, in the old days, they sort of looked upon that as sort of almost quackery.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, a lot of people are starting to take notice of some of these alternatives.
Mm. And, you know, I think that, you know, people are particularly as society ages and so on, I think people are finding it looking for alternative ways to try and keep sort of fit, keep their bodies alive and healthy and so on. And so, doing things like shiatsu, reiki, Feldenkrais, I've got no idea what that is, but nevertheless, I've got it written in front of me.
But not what it is.
Well, the only thing I know about it. Julian, do you know anything about it?
Absolutely nothing, John.
Oh, he's not help.
I'll just leave now.
But no, it's just, again, it's just the same kind of thing. But the only note I've made here is that it's movement, which is practicing that taps into the brain's ability to create neural pathways. There you go.
Right. So what's neural pathways?
Neural pathways, the things that go on in the brain, the connections that between the various the brain makes with various parts of your bodies and messages getting sent.
So one of the things that, I know I laugh, but one of these things that a lot of these exercises must be good for dementia.
Mm.
They must be. Anything that stimulates your brain has to be good for dementia.
Yeah, and the sooner you get involved in these kinds of things, I mentioned just not so long ago that as people are aging, they start to think about these things. But really, I think if you're going to look after yourself properly, you need to start at a much younger age and start getting those sorts of habits well and truly ingrained.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Because you often see people at 70 saying, oh, well, I should do this and I should do that, but their body doesn't always let them do it. Whereas if they'd have started at 50, they'd have been a lot better off, wouldn't they?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, I'll take one quick break and then we're going to come back and talk to Julian.
We'll be right back.
And I'm talking to Julian and John from U3A. Now, Julian, you've got a big year coming up next year down there at U3A.
We absolutely do, Alan.
Tell us about it.
It's our 20th anniversary.
Geez, that's terrific, isn't it?
Yeah, we started in 2006, and next year, 2026, is our 20th anniversary, and there's a lot to celebrate, and we plan on celebrating.
So you're going to have a big celebration, are you?
Yeah, we've got a bit of a subcommittee going, of which John and I are both members, and we're in the throes right at the moment of planning what we're going to do next year, and that'll cover a number of events and activities and things we're going to do.
Are you going to have, can I just ask you, it's probably a bit early to ask you, are you going to have one big event, or is it sort of spread out over the year?
It'll be spread out over the year, and you'd probably say there's two or three major events.
Yep.
Certainly, probably the biggest event will be a lunch. Now, we've got 370-odd members.
Yep.
To have a lunch for however many of them sign up to come along, that's going to be a big deal. And
but is that just for them, or is that sort of for past members as well?
Past members, yes, and I think that's correct. Is it, John?
I would.
Yeah, certainly some key people from the past, absolutely. We'll get people from the council along, like Fiona McAllister, other U3As in the Yarra Ranger Shire. So, yes, other people will come along. Cindy McLeish will be on the...
I bet Cindy will be there.
Yeah, yep. Cindy's always there. Absolutely.
So, John, I think you mentioned you're looking for past members who'd like to come along?
Oh, well, one of the things that Julian and his wife Heather, and we're a part of a steering committee with a couple of other people, we've talked about is reaching out to people who have been part of the U3A over time but may not in fact be members at this stage for whatever reason, and they're still living locally, because we'd love to hear their stories, and I think there will be opportunities not only to record those stories, but also to give people the opportunity to be part of telling those stories to people who are, you know, members of the U3A at the moment, and be part of the celebrations. Julian's mentioned a lunch, and there will certainly be a key central lunch event like that. But, you know, there are a couple of other key events which we hold during the year. Things like Fridays at 5, RVOTs and so on, which will elevate those to a much bigger kind of event. So that we will supply sort of nibbles and bits, sausage sizzles and things like that, but also create the opportunity for performance, create the opportunity for people to perhaps talk a little bit. I mean, one of the interesting stories I was listening to the other day was there used to be a course called A Day in the City. Now that wound down back in about 2021 because people stopped coming along. And what I realised when it started, what I was told, Margaret Farthing used to run it, and she said, you know, when she started it, which was back in about 2010. People didn't go to the city. They needed to organise the public transport, the awareness, all those sorts of things. So this was providing an opportunity for a group of people to go and do something that they wouldn't normally do.
And when you talk city of Melbourne?
Into the CBD. Yep. She'd organise, you know, key events, then going to the aquarium, going to the theatre, going to sort of Federation Square, anything which was of interest in the museum, anything which was of interest that perhaps one or two people might not feel up to actually getting themselves organised to do.
And some don't want to drive?
A lot of them. She'd organise a bus. Yep. She'd organise the bus.
I know. I had a feeling you were going to say that, because that often takes people in. Yeah. They drop you right in the middle of the CBD.
Absolutely. Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
But what she found, I mean, it was a different time, because one of the things she found that these days is that people seem to have much more ready access, or they know about it because, you know, social media, all sorts of things bring that information to them, can bring the experience to them. So numbers were dropping off. But that course finished. But it was a big course and an integral part of what was happening in a different era of U3A.
In a way, that's morphed into the Hit the Road group. Have we talked about that before, John?
Yeah, we have. But talk about it now.
Hit the Road is... Yeah, I think it's a bit of a natural progression from Margaret's course.
Yeah.
Hit the road is people with caravans, or not necessarily the caravans, go away. There's two lovely people,
yeah,
Anne and David, who organise this, and they organise somewhere to go for the group.
Yep.
Go camping, people get cabins, people take their vans and so on.
Yep.
And next year, well, this is not related to the 20th year, but there's a big one coming up, which is going to the Snowy Mountains, which
True.
Will cover
yep.
about 2 weeks. There's a lot of people signed up. There must be, getting for 30 people signed up for it, I think, with their vans and so on. We're all going to head off through Beechworth and Cairn Cove and up to Coomer, back down to Tumut and back home from there, spending time at all those places along the way, having a good time. There'll be a lot of eating and drinking, dare I say. Musical instruments will go along.
I don't go there.
There we sing songs, a lot of sing songs, and it'll be just a lovely, lovely event. And that's what Hit the Road does.
And that's next year.
That's next year,
so
in March
next year. So
it's
part of the 20th year too.
It is, yes, yeah, absolutely.
So... Julian, what sort of groups are you involved in yourself?
I'm a bit of an outdoors man, Alan, so yep. There are two bushwalking or walking groups involved
yep.
with different levels. We're trying at different levels.
Let me just ask you, with the walking, do you head off from your base down here at the courthouse, or do you drive somewhere and then walk?
Usually, certainly the more serious group, if I can use that term,
yep.
we usually drive somewhere. Our leader, Don, he is an absolute whiz at finding tracks all over the place, anything within about an hour's drive.
And how long do your normal walks take?
They usually take about 3 hours, something like
Gee,
that, 3 to 4 hours.
That's pretty committed, isn't it?
Yeah, these are decent walks. They involve quite a few kilometres, bush tracks, hills. they can be quite strenuous. So, yeah, they're proper walks for those who are still capable of that sort of thing.
Yep.
The other group, run by Helen, that is a bit more slower, a bit
not quite
lower
as
level. Yeah, no, none of this bush tracks or bush bashing or anything like that, and not too big hills.
Pardon me, and how long would you be walking on one of those?
That's still a good 2 or 3 hours.
Is it?
So they still cover a decent distance.
Just mainly flat ground.
10 kilometres, but yeah, flatter tracks, tracks in better condition, that sort of thing, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So how many people would you get along on the bush bash and, yep. and the others on each one?
They're pretty similar. The bush bash is probably 10 to 15. And the other one would be similar to that too, maybe a few more.
Because the ones that do the bush bash wouldn't want to do the... It'd be too sedately, the other one, wouldn't it?
There's a bit of overlap. I do both.
Is there?
Yeah.
I would have thought those that do the big ones.
Yeah, because, I mean, the other thing that, as with all youth reactivities, it's the social interaction. It's just as important as the activity. And you get to talk to... You're right, there are different groups. On the two, but that means you get to talk to different people and catch up with different people.
Of course, one of the things that we should mention, I know John and I've mentioned this on a many occasion because I'm really into this, people getting connected, is it's not only when you're at U3A on your walk and that, it's when you go down the street. And I was interviewing someone a little while ago, not from U3A, and they joined another group and they said, you know, they'd lived in Hillsville for quite a long while, but they worked out of the area. And they said, you know, the first time somebody called out my name in the street, I thought, man, this is living. Because she said she used to go down, do the shopping, just go home, and nobody spoke to her other than the checkout chick who said, have a good day, and really couldn't care less whether she did or she didn't. And she said, the first time someone actually called my name, I thought, man, this is really something.
Yeah. And I think that's always been part of the way what U3A has been in the community.
Yep.
The number of people I've spoken to, I'm putting together sort of a story, I won't call it a history yet because it's got a long way to go, but I've been talking to a number of people who've been involved with U3A since it started back in 2006. And the way that whole social interaction was a really important part of being part of the U3A for them.
I'd agree with
that. They would, and I was talking to Val, I'll mention her name, she's not with us here in Australia anymore, Val James. Val was a member in 2006. She's now moved to Europe, gone back to England to be with her family. Mm-hmm. But she talks a lot about the walks that she would go on around Healesville at various times.
Yep.
And she'd bump into people and she'd chat. I mean, Val's a bit of a chatter. She enjoys people's company. And she would talk about the U3A, and often they would know nothing about it. And so, and she said that for two or three of them in particular, it was actually a life-changing sort of move to make.
I wouldn't be surprised.
And it wasn't that they were out sort of being heavily active or getting involved in a lot of exercise or dance or music or theatre or whatever it might be. It was just having a place to go to chat and sit to people who you could actually identify with.
And no competition.
No competition.
All right, got to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the extravaganza. We've got to talk about that.
She wears my ring to show
updated version of a song that Johnny O'Keefe sang. He sang it a lot louder and a lot wilder than that, but She Wears My Ring, and that was John Abbott. Anyway, towards the end of the year, when I was getting towards the end of the year, when the U3A concert extravaganza, whatever you like to call it, always a great day. They put a lot of work into it, and it sells out pretty quickly. So if you haven't got your tickets, you need to get them pretty quickly. So, John, tell us a bit about the extravaganza.
Well, it's actually closer than people think. The first performance is about 2 weeks away. 23rd of November, Sunday, 23rd of November. So 2.5 weeks away, 3 weeks away last Sunday.
Yep.
So they need to get their tickets. Both performances, last I heard, were sort of over half sold out.
Yep.
Half the seats had been sold for both performances. So, you know, get in, get your seats.
Where do they get them, John,
through
the MIMO?
You can get them either at the MIMO, you can book through the MIMO, you can get them online through the MIMO's website.
Yep.
Or you can get them directly through the U3A if you...
Is a MIMO website Culture Track or something?
Yeah,
is that theirs?
That's the one, Culture Tracks. Yep. So, and this year we're heading off to Texas. We're going.
It's a
Western.
Six shooters
and
all.
It allows us to bring in some of those songs from Oklahoma and Calamity Jane and all of those sorts of
terrific.
Things.
Oh, terrific, yeah.
So, yes, and, you know, it's a standard sort of Western. It's called Dusty Trails. And
so is there a story through it?
As best we can, yeah. No, there is a story. There's a definite story. The story's based on a town called Dusty Trails.
Right.
And there are a couple of marauding gangsters sort of just out of town, sort of looking to come in and make trouble.
Right.
And Blackjack is the evil. He's the crook. He's the man who is going to cause all the trouble. He and a couple of his mobsters. And so the whole purpose of the exercise is for somebody to unite the sheriff and his deputy, to unite the town and present a resistance and get themselves organised.
Yep.
And, of course, as in a lot of these sorts of things, the people who live in the town are sort of just going about their ordinary business and they're not terribly fussed about this. But anyway, at the end of the day, they all unite and they all come together and they're very general. I won't tell you what actually happens in the end because, but Blackjack, despite being sort of a bit of a villain,
he seeks redemption.
He seeks redemption, but he goes quietly.
Sounds terrific. So give us the dates again, please, John.
The first performance is on Sunday, the 23rd of November at 2 o'clock in the MIMO and runs till 4:30. And the second performance is a week later on Sunday, the 30th of November. It's at the MIMO. 30th of November.
At 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock and finishes at 4:30.
Yeah.
Tickets are $15.
Yep.
$10 if you're under the age of 15. So if you've got family or children or grandchildren or whatever and you'd like to bring them along, they come in for $10.
Sounds good. So Sunday the 23rd of November or Sunday the 30th of November at the MIMO and book your tickets through the MIMO or I'm sure it's culturetracks.org if I remember rightly.
It could well be. I don't know. I'm not sure.
All right. We're going to take another quick break and we're going to come back and talk some more and have your paper and pencil ready at about 5 to 1 because John or Julian will give you all the contact details for the Hillsville U3A.
Party all night. We'll need a little DJ dance. glasses caving in and said, oh no. I got a feeling we ain't making nothing great again. I said, oh, don't know what to believe. Getting dizzy from all I see, yeah. But we got the remedy.
Just a quick reminder, straight after 1 o'clock news, we'll have our private guest, our private investigator, Pete, with from Absolute Facts in to tell us what he's been up to. He wasn't here last month, so we've got 2 months to catch up. The 20th anniversary. You'd like to go back and say a bit more about that, John?
Well, yes, I'll just hand it over to Julian, because Julian, we're talking about putting together a handbook.
One of the things we're going to do, Alan, which organisations often do in this situation, is put together a book, which will document our history, look for stories, lots of photos, of course, basically to celebrate and commemorate where we've come from.
So I guess you're looking for people who've got stories from the early days you want to hear from, don't you?
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, we've got, I suppose we would have in the order of, you know, 50 to 80 people who have been members of the U3A since from about 2010 backwards, back to 2006. They first joined in 2006 or up to about 2010, 2011. We know that there are a number of people out there who have been part of the U3A at various times and for one reason or another have stopped their membership.
Yep.
But nevertheless were, you know, significant people in their time and they would have stories to tell.
Yep.
And Julian's been, as Julian said, we're putting together this picture book.
Yep.
But it will include stories, anecdotes, you know, things that people remember.
Yep.
So while we can ease it, it's not difficult for us to tap into our own members. There are people out there. I mean, there are two people I'm particularly interested in, and I don't know whether they're still with us or not. One is a woman called Louise Williams.
Right.
Louise is actually the one who I suspect first came up with the idea of the U3A in Hillsville. She was employed by each at the time, but she never actually joined. But nevertheless, from our point of view, there's a bit of a mystery there about how the whole thing actually got started in the very first point. We know that Ian Tinney was the first president, and we know that Terry Green, who was on that first committee and was subsequently a president, there are people there who picked up the ball and ran with it.
Yep.
But how that ball got there in the first place is something we would like to know.
If Louise Williams is around,
you'd love
to hear from her.
Yeah.
Or I guess
some
the other
people
issue.
Know her.
Yeah, if she's not, then at least if someone could contact you and say, well, no, this is what's happened to her, at least then you know, don't you?
Yeah. But even people who would remember her or who knew her would know something about her, we'd certainly be interested to hear from them. And the other one's Rosemary Boyd. She was the first secretary of the U3A. And she obviously, I believe she's still in Hillsville. But, it's people like that who were back in part of those early days.
Yep.
It's their stories. I mean, I've talked to Val James and a couple of others, and some of the stories they tell are quite funny. I mean, people sort of, you know, going for walks down the street and being attacked by dogs and people coming out and helping them and sort of subsequently a conversation about U3A starts. Would you like to join the U3A? And off it goes.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, all sorts of interesting things that relate to back then.
That'd be terrific, wouldn't it? If you could get these people.
Yeah. So if we could do that.
So you're talking about Louise Williams, and I didn't write down the second name.
Rosemary Boyd is another one. She was involved at from the very beginning.
Yep.
She left Healesville, or she left the U3A in about 2007, 2008. So she was only there for 2 or 3 years, but she was the first secretary.
It should be very good.
So she's the secretaries are the ones who keep the notes.
Yeah,
they are. And have the memories and so on.
And very often, and I know I was involved with an organisation 40 years ago, and I was only going through some stuff the other day, and I found some of the old minutes.
Mm. Yeah.
Because no one wanted them at those time. Now people treasure some of the old stuff, but back then, no one wanted it.
And the secret to a lot of this, I think, there are some people who are good at this.
Yep.
They love taking minutes. They love keeping records. They don't throw things out.
Yep.
And somewhere in their files, in their drawers and desks or wherever it might be, there will be this information out there which we would desperately love to record and get formalised before too much longer.
Yeah. And the other issue is, too, that once you've got into this book, I mean, when you get to 25, 30, 40 years, you build on the book, don't you? Whereas at the moment you're starting with not a lot, whereas you can just keep building on it as it goes.
And I think that is the beginning of the whole story in the end. Yeah. I mean, I whimsically had this idea about 3 or 4 years ago that we should write the history of the U3A.
Yep.
Because we're very fortunate. We've got all the presidents currently of the U3A in Healesville and still with us and easily contactable. So somebody said, oh, that's a good idea. Why don't you do it?
well, that's what happened with you.
Thought, yeah, well, okay. So you suddenly realise what a mammoth task you've taken on.
Yep.
But it has having this sort of thing that Julian's talking about as a starting point.
Yeah.
So anyway, anyone who has interesting stories to tell from last two decades of U3A, interesting memories, knows the whereabouts of people who they thought were significant at the time.
I guess that's the other issue. If you can tap into one, they'll often know
absolutely
one or two others too, won't they?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Sounds terrific. I'd love to see the book. You'll have to bring a copy in and let us have a look at it.
Oh, we'll give you a personally autographed copy.
Oh, don't ask for that, but I'd like to see. All right, we're fast running out of time. We've got about a minute and a half. Is there anything else you want to say, John? Oh, first of all, give us the contact details, please.
Contact details. I've got them written down. We've actually changed.
Have you?
The phone number hasn't changed. If you want to contact us in the secretary, the U3A phone number is 0490 917 975.
Yep.
We have a new email.
Right.
It is now info@healesvilleu3a.org.au.
Can you give us it again, Pastor?
info@healesvilleu3a, all lowercase, .org.au.
Right.
And the website, the information for just about everything that's going on in the U3A is on our website, which is www.healesvilleu3a.org.au.
No dot between the Healesville and U3A?
No.
Right.
All one word.
And you've no doubt got a Facebook page?
We do, but I don't know what it is.
It'll be Healesville U3A.
I don't have Facebook.
Does it? Oh, John, even I've got Facebook. Anyway, if they just type in Facebook, Healesville U3A, it'll pop up.
Yeah.
All right, so again, 0490 917 and 975.
Correct.
Or info@healesvilleu3a.org.au. Now, please, if you know any of these couple of people that John was talking about or anybody that was involved in the start of U3A, it's a great opportunity to get their stories down. And if you don't get them done, then they get lost, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, our fear is that we'll go 3 or 4 or 5, 10 years down the track and the information will be gone.
Yep. Yeah, unfortunately, one or two of the people won't be around.
Yep, absolutely.
Got to go, guys. Thank you very much for coming in for the day.
I'm going to go do Poet's Corner.
Sorry?
I'm going to do Poet's Corner.
Thank you for coming in, and we'll talk to you 3A. I think it's the last week in January we'll have someone in.
Absolutely.
Thanks very much.